Gospel according to John, chapter 11, from the verse number 32 to the verse number 44. I would like to read this passage and then share a few words that, because I believe that this passage deserves some extended attention in the preceding Bible sharing. I have talked about this whole chapter. So now, John 11:32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Verse number 35 is known in some circles as the shortest verse of the Holy Scripture. And so far I learned about diverse opinions concerning the Lord's manners and behavior in these situations, and especially this one at the tomb of Lazarus. And it seemed that some rather serious believers believe that at this moment the Lord's humanity, that side of his person, surfaced. And from the same circles and same individuals, I heard similar comment about John the Baptist when he, John the Baptist, sent his two disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ to ask the question, Art thou the one that should have come, or should we wait for another one? That John the Baptist was weakened and falling into despair in the prison and so on. And I am very strongly inclined not to believe any of that, I would rather rely on our Lord's description of John the Baptist as a light shining in the darkness. John the Baptist had such testimonies that short or long time imprisonment, even in such a miserable place as the prisons of that times were, could not shake his faith or make him insecure and desperate. But in this case, I would like to say the reason for the Lord to weep at the tomb of Lazarus did not have much to do with the fact that Lazarus was dead, or at least Lazarus did not live in his body, in his flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ already said before that this sickness, the sickness of which Lazarus died, that sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of our Heavenly Father. And here, in the verse number 35, the Lord Jesus wept not because of his humanity, but because of his divinity. That's my opinion. That's my understanding. That the Lord Jesus Christ was weeping for the same reason, or at least similar reason, as he wept over Jerusalem. The people of his generation, just as the people of any generation, did not have understanding of God's will, God's power, God's purpose. All of that was hidden from them. They believe in God, and yet they seem not to be able to bring together that belief, that faith, with the fact that Lazarus got sick and passed away, died. It looks like God himself was dead. When death comes, death is like something in its own standing. Lazarus died, and the Lord Jesus Christ was not there to keep Lazarus from dying. Oh, how awful, how terrible. Well, I understand that it was a difficult sickness, but it's over. It's past. Our Lord Jesus said, the woman that is travailing in childbirth is suffering because that's her time of suffering. But when the child had been born, she will not focus anymore on that suffering, but rather on the joy. A man, a person, a new soul has been born into this world. So here, Martha says that she believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is that Messiah. Martha says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Well, that's a reason for rejoicing, not weeping anymore. And they, both Martha and Mary, are not complaining about them two sisters being left behind. They're not complaining about possible desire. They would wish they were, they have died and their brother still living here in this world. But what is the life in this world that we should feel so sad when the time comes to leave this world and go to be with the Father? They believe that Lazarus is in a good place. Lazarus is in the Lord's care. Nothing anymore in this world can harm this man. Nothing can threaten his safety, his security, or even his life or health and strength. He's safe now. He was a godly man. He served the Lord in godliness, and now he's with the Lord. Why such a drama, such a tragedy in their hearts? Mary came to the place where the Lord Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Why looking backwards? It's over. No more suffering, no more death. He's in a good place. But all of that is not their focus. This life seemed to be everything. Oh, they say they believe the Lord, but this life is what they enjoy, and they don't have a desire to go and be with the Lord. They are not excited about seeing all the patriarchs, the faithful ones, all the prophets and God's servants, multitudes of the heavenly angels, all the beauty of God's holiness in that place where there is joy and rejoicing endlessly. Nothing of that all. It's awfully sad that Lazarus died. Why? Why they are not able nor willing to face the fact that leaving this body, being transferred from this life and placed into the presence of the Lord, that that's a wonderful thing. Oh yes, sickness and weakness and suffering of any kind can be difficult, frightening, but it's over now, and Lazarus is not suffering anymore. But they cannot see that. They're so much focused on this life. They believe the Word of God, but somehow it's disconnected from their life. They seem not to be aware of what they believe. And the Lord wept. The condition of a human heart that have abstract faith, faith that is not influencing his or her life, is lamentable. And the Lord wept over these souls that know the Word of God, but yet have not understood very much, if anything at all. Both sisters, Martha and Mary, seem to be in a gentle way, but very sensible way, blaming the Lord because he was not here. Lazarus died. Only if the Lord was here, Lazarus would not have died. Where is the Lord God, the Father, in all of that? They seem not to see him. Martha said that she believed, even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. It's a disconnection. If it had been the will of God the Father that Lazarus would die, how could they ever expect the Lord Jesus Christ to change the will of the Father? The Lord Jesus Christ did not change the will of the Father. He recognized the will of the Father, and he admired the will of the Father, and he appreciated the will of the Father. Just as he, the Lord Jesus, had said, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. So the Lord Jesus Christ did not come to change the will of the Father, but to fulfill the will of the Father. And the Lord Jesus said, when he was told about Lazarus being sick, "This sickness is not unto death, but to the glory of God." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is acting accordingly, glorifying God the Father. Now, if Martha and Mary were only bereaved because they lost their brother, as it is commonly talked when some of the loved ones passed away, and now they are left only two girls, two single women, without their brother, and so they feel sad. When the Lord Jesus Christ said to Martha, "Thy brother will rise again," she could have said, "Oh, how wonderful, so we were separated only these 4 days." But no, there is no way that she would allow her cloud of sadness to give way to the sunshine of comfort. Why? Why would some people today believe that it is a disgrace and a dishonor if we don't get very sad when one of our loved ones passed away? And that's not only among the unbelievers, but among the professing believers. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, it's so difficult. Oh. Why? Why do we refuse so many reasons for rejoicing in the Lord? When we are facing difficulties, let us pray to the Lord to arm us with the whole armor of faith and godliness, salvation and truth, so that we can endure in difficulties. But when the difficulties are over, rejoice in the Lord and say, "His will be done. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised." No reason to feel burdened, depressed, no reason to be agonizing over the past difficulties that we suffered. It's over. Look forward to the Lord's coming. So the Lord wept over lack of understanding even in his disciples, because both Martha and Mary seem to have been disciples of the Lord Jesus. I could say that the Lord Jesus Christ wept over the needless suffering of his disciples. It's an unnecessary suffering. Suffering of the past things. Suffering that we impose upon ourselves because something has happened. Nothing can happen without the will of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us strength, spiritual, physical, everything that we need to make sure that we don't suffer more than necessary. The difficulties of this life are not greater nor stronger than our God. And nothing can happen without His will. So the Lord our God is teaching us here, when we suffer, to pray, and He will give us all the strength necessary to endure in the suffering. But as soon as the suffering is over, to look up to the Lord with gratitude and praise, to rejoice in His goodness and mercy, and to rejoice in His wonderful, marvelous salvation that He has given us in the Savior. In the verse number 40, the Lord said to Martha, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone. So they were listening to the conversation between Martha and the Lord until this moment. But what the Lord is saying here, if I understand correctly, if we would believe, we should see the glory of God all the time. As long as we believe, we can see the glory of God and His multiplied victories, victory over victory. Nothing, God has nothing ever lost. In the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 19, verse 41, when the Lord Jesus was come near, and he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." All of that, why? Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Wrong focus, looking in a different direction, not to the source of blessings and goodness. Considering the life in a different way other than the way revealed to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. This ignorance that the Lord Jesus was weeping over concerning Jerusalem is concerning the people that live in Jerusalem. And that ignorance has some very drastic, awful, dramatic consequences. But this ignorance also has its cause. Everyone that does not care to know the power and will and goodness and mercy of the Lord God Almighty toward His people. Everyone is missing so many things that are for his or her peace, comfort, encouragement, reliance upon Him that is the Almighty, and then dependence on the things that are absolutely not dependable. Because Jerusalem did not recognize the time of His visitation, the Lord's visiting Jerusalem with the gospel of mercy and salvation from God in Christ Jesus. Because they refuse to recognize that, they're going to know their own destruction. Hopeless, helplessly they will look, facing their own destruction, because they did not believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, in the conversation with Martha and Mary, the Lord is weeping over their misunderstanding. I don't know how long, perhaps up to 3.5 years, Martha and Mary were listening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they believed in that gospel, and yet they did not. They still see the life through the experiences of body, and somehow they cannot see the benefits of the soul, the blessings that are in faith in and reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ and the mercies of the Heavenly Father. If Martha and Mary knew that sickness and even death of Lazarus were not final thing, that that's not their separation for a long time, that this is all happening to glorify God, to glorify the Son of God. If they knew that, they would have still suffered that grief of seeing their brother sick and dying. But that would be far less suffering than suffering without hope, suffering with that feeling that everything is lost, and oh, they lost their brother. Their brother is dying and dying. Oh, he died. Oh, how awful, how terrible, how sad. No, it's not. It's over. And the Lord was with Lazarus through all of that suffering. But the Lord was with Lazarus in a good way, not in such desperate way as his sisters were. So, in his love, our Heavenly Father has allowed us to suffer. And through that suffering, we have an opportunity to reveal more of the mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father, more of his presence, more of his help, more of available reliance upon his strength and his sustainment through all the difficulties of this earthly journey. And then we will die. And the next moment we know, we will be in the glory with all the others that are waiting for that majestic day of resurrection, when the Lord God Almighty will spell the end of sin and woe and sadness for all those that trusted and obeyed his Son. It's a different thing, suffering with the Lord, than suffering alone, even though we knew and believed that the Lord is Lord. And yet, it seems that the difficulties, the sickness and the death, the dying, is stronger and mightier than the Lord. No, nothing is stronger. Nothing is mightier. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My Father is greater than anyone else, and he gave me my sheep, and no one can snatch away my sheep from my hand." That's our confidence. Or at least should be, trusting in the Lord and endure in suffering by the power that he is supplying. I felt that this is like a supplement to the preceding message, in which I shared as much as I was able to from the Gospel according to John chapter 11.